Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let us go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans and you can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from your app store today. They'll take the process, they'll take care of the process for you and find the best price on the market. That's Q-U-I-C-K. A-S-Y-S-T, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right. I found this news to be kind of interesting. And Figgy, you might have been the one who actually broke this to me while we were hanging out after the show yesterday. And that is that the Raiders, who after firing a good amount of their offensive staff, obviously their offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, I believe quarterback coach, if I recall correctly, they have hired a blast from the past name, Norv Turner, as a coaching assistant after these firings. So obviously Norv Turner, former Raiders head coach, who returned to the team as a senior advisor, the team announced yesterday. Also, Scott Turner, his son, has been promoted from pass game coordinator to interim offense coordinator.
There we go.
And so they've done that. Plus, they also added Joe Philbin as an interim offensive line.
Damn, they getting all these old schools in there, man.
When you fire a whole bunch of people, you got to go get somebody who's been around the block, or at least someone who's out there. And the people that are out there, at least get some names.
They're going to be running that 1998 offense.
Well, you got to remember.
It's looking like that. What's that commercial with Jerry Rice?
That's right.
Yeah. Smith,
they got Emmitt
in the Modash jerseys.
Yeah.
Cut the little belly fat, little beer belly working.
Well, I imagine if you can't give the Raiders fans good football, which I can't imagine that they can actually deliver in this instance, might as well give them nostalgia.
What kind of nostalgia?
North Turner's been a good coach in this league.
Big and a good coordinator.
Well, he's the senior advisor, and he's going to tell his son how to call up good plays.
How about his son? Dad, can you hold my hand the rest of the way?
Hey, we got to get Gary Kubiak back here, man.
Hey, man.
I'd take Kubiak.
Hey, let's bring him back.
Yeah. You saying it. Where's Mike Munchak? What's he doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's also part of this. Joe Philbin coming in as interim offensive line coach. I would not hate a level of, like, offensive line coordinator or like offensive line assistant of sorts being held here, because Chris Strasser, like, there's real questions, man.
Dude, just in the last week, I've had Munchak texted to me on the bat phone a couple times from people. Why can't they? I'm like, I don't know. It's not a bad suggestion.
They should, man.
Not a bad suggestion.
It seems like these old school coaches that have become like offensive line coaches.
Yeah.
Actually, they're pretty good. Like, you know, like, who was it? Bill Callahan?
Yeah.
Like, he...
Bill Callahan will always get a run game going.
Yeah,
like...
No matter where he is. We will tote that ball.
And that's insane. Try something.
Ain't he there with his son, Brian?
Yeah.
And didn't Tony Pollard just go off for over 100?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Bill Callahan.
He was part of the Browns' run game the last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty good. Their offensive line was pretty good.
So, yeah. Shout out to the Raiders. Just getting some names. Sometimes, just all of you... They're playing a game that
come
I love
on, Gary
playing,
Kubiak.
Which is,
come
hey,
on back.
Do you remember this guy? That's one of my favorite games. And apparently they were like, you remember North Turner?
Yeah.
Let's bring him back. You remember Joe Philbin? Let's bring him back.
And they're like, why the hell not?
what do you have to lose?
I was going
to
say John Gruden, but he was already
there. Yeah, they tried that.
Yeah. they shout out to them emails.
Plus,
yeah.
I also don't think John Gruden's coming in as an assistant. It's either you let me run the show or I'm not doing none of this. Also, he seems to be having fun doing the little TV project or video project.
That thing's taking off a little
bit.
It looks very like high school, college-ish, the production.
But here's the thing about John Gruden.
Yeah.
He was doing very well when he was just out here talking about football. I was surprised that he wanted to get back into the coaching game. And this is one of the things that I always say.
Mm-hmm.
Football people, particularly coaches, are built different. Because how do you go from the constant work and stress and just like people like us on the radio talking bad about you, right?
Yeah.
You go from all that and all that stress and then go to the broadcast booth where it's an easier schedule, oftentimes real good money.
You're revered.
A lot less stress. Yeah. You are revered. Yeah. And then be like, nah, but I got to get back to
coaching. Yeah, you know? That's how I look at, like, Jeff Van Gundy. It's like, man, you living a good life,
man. He is somebody's assistant right now.
I know he got let go.
Yeah, he got let go, which is unfortunate.
But I'm like, man, he wanted to get back to coaching.
I had somebody tell me a long time ago, and it just stuck with me. Figgy, you've probably heard me say this. Coaches coach. Like,
and God bless him for
it. You know, they just feel like they have to coach. I don't care if he's making twice as much, which some of them have. You know, after a while from what they could have made, you know, in the booth or in the studio, they coach. They have to coach.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I'm not wired like that.
Shout out to Wade Phillips, too.
Yes.
That's somebody that he wanted coach until he died.
Yes.
They just love it. And I find that to be.
You should bring Wade Phillips back while we at it.
Oh, then, all right. So here we go. Let's just lean all the way in and play our version of Name a Guy right now. 5-Hour Energy.
Name
fan
a guy.
713-572-4610.
Yeah.
What name would you add to the coaching staff? Just go ahead and name a guy. Why not? Let's do that. Elsewhere around the NFL, trade deadline came and went. Obviously, we know the Texans weren't involved in adding a player. They send Khalil Davis out for a 7th-round pick. Not in this upcoming draft in 2025, but the draft afterwards in 26. So you have 2 7th-round picks in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them yours, funny enough, which is interesting. But Khalil Davis moves on to the Niners. Of course, that deal seems to make sense if you remember that you have quite a few defensive tackles. Remember, Mario Edwards is still on
coming
suspension.
Back.
He'll return.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to have some guys coming back from injury, you're going to need to create space. It seems like it would stand to reason that Khalil Davis would have been one of those guys that would have had to have been cut.
Yeah.
And so add a little bit of day 3, admittedly, but a little future draft capital for a guy that probably could not have stayed on your roster for a significantly longer period.
Yeah, and you know, the whole trade deadline thing that didn't happen for the Texans, you know, we talked about it earlier today, but not necessarily about some of these NFC teams and other teams. Like that made the big moves. I was pretty intrigued with the Commanders, man. I was pretty intrigued with the Commanders and what they did because.
Okay, so let's go ahead and lean into that.
We can, and we'll do it later, whatever. But I'm just saying that was that, like the Texans, like the Commanders, and the reason I'm mentioning them, like they, no one expected them to be a favorite to win the NFC East. No one expected Jaden Daniels to carry this team this far.
You see what he said?
That
you see
fast.
What he did there with that very few?
No, I didn't expect him to carry this far this fast. I just thought he was going to be
the best. You know, some of y'all did not expect.
Not everybody can be me. But no, I meant like to be a contender that fast. I thought he'd be good, but they are. And so they made a move that one of those teams that says, hey, you know what? We might just be able to get there. Can make.
Yeah, man, they're definitely one of the winners of this. What was the other thing? Oh, before we get into the winners and losers of it, I did want to highlight, interestingly enough, the reporting is kind of out there and mounting that both the Colts and the Carolina Panthers had discussions, maybe offers that they rebuffed for their young quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson, obviously, for the Colts. Bryce Young, for the Panthers. What do you make of that both of those teams decided against trading those guys that they have already benched this season?
Ego. They're not ready to just say, yeah, we screwed up.
But what's funny is, like, if you look and
not yet.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong in that regard. But if you look at kind of the statistics of it, when you bench a quarterback under the age of 25, usually that is like, especially benched without, like, not for injury, right?
Yeah.
You just straight up bench them. That usually portends the end of, like, them being the
viable
viable franchise quarterback in the future. if, and not to say that that is like the end all be all. It's almost like one of those times where you see the stats where it's like, well, when you run the football 20 times, you win. It's like, okay, if you run the football 20 times, you win. Not quite. That's not how the correlation causation works with it. However, it does make you wonder if there were teams out there, why not consider it? And I think one of the big question, big probable answers in that is, I wonder what the actual returns would be in the middle of the season as opposed to in the offseason.
Maybe,
maybe you get a better return in that situation. Or maybe, I think the Colts, they bench Anthony Richardson, but they're still going to be, you know, they're still going to follow the sweet aroma of possibility when it comes to big arm, talent, and all those traits. The Bryce Young one gets interesting. I'll be interested to see what they do there. They've seen, they've gotten a win with Bryce Young now as the quarterback in his return with Anthony, with Andy Dalton with his thumb injury. But I'm not certain that that one's going to work out for them if they want to run
him
back.
I said ego. I mean ego because especially high draft picks. I mean, Kenyon Green, we talk about the Texans have way too much loyalty in some cases. The loyalty wouldn't have been that there at all if Kenyon Green was a third-round pick. He'd have already been gone. But it was a first-round pick. Same thing with, especially at the quarterback position. They're not quite ready. I do believe you, and I agree with you that maybe the return, they were trying to be lowballed there a little bit, but they weren't going to trade him, not yet anyway.
Another thing around the NFL, Joe Burrow threw five touchdowns this past weekend in a victory over the Raiders, but you know, one of the big things that was actually discussed was his facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there were some scowls happening on the sideline and such. And he ultimately explained yesterday that the scowling he felt was more of a leadership thing. He said, quote, maybe I could have not let my emotions show quite as much, but it's also something that I've tried to do more. I know people in the locker room have wanted me to do a little bit more, whether good or bad. But I can't show my emotion positively. And then when things don't go well, not let that be shown known as well.
He's a different kind of guy, I think. Fun guy. You remember, I brought this up. I had this last week, and I just forgot to bring it up. You see his Halloween stuff that he was talking about?
Yeah, he's not a fan of Halloween.
I'm not a fan of dressing up just to celebrate and nothing. I'm not exactly a guy that's going to dress up just to dress up.
Oh, I've been that guy before. I know that guy.
Fun guy. Fun guy.
I like how Macaulay Culkin dressed up as him. For
more
Halloween.
Like him than him.
Yeah.
Wait, with the blonde hair.
Yeah. But to your point, look, I think he's just he's cut a different way. He's a great player. Can be a great player. But I just think he's just, that's not him. Why he's got to be authentic.
Yeah. I do appreciate that line of thought of, hey, just showing the positive emotions is not like, as you mentioned, the word you use is authentic. And he says that he knows that there's guys in the locker room that like benefit from that. Like, hey, being that full version of yourself. I don't have full insight into how CJ worked with this, but I do wonder like those moments of frustration that we've seen and such. Like, I do wonder how much of that lands in the locker room, how much of that is inspiring in some ways for this team. And I think that people have kind of discussed, and I think it was, I was listening to Texans All Access, might have been yesterday, about them talking about the possibility of him getting in people's faces, not exactly in that word, but like, I do wonder how much that kind of mentality,
is that real?
How much does that actually factor in with maybe CJ in this locker room when you have an offensive line that's not getting the job done and some other things?
Yeah, no, I want people to be themselves. I think that's key to it all. And I think people see through things that aren't really you. So I don't mind it. If I was a Cincinnati fan, I'd be like, yeah, well, it's not exactly Mr. Excitement, but okay. And I think CJ does do that a little bit more.
Okay. From the 346 on the 5-hour energy fan line. Oh, sorry. From the 832. Owen Daniels is tight end coach.
What is Owen Daniels doing? I saw this a while back. Did he buy a weed place?
It's going to be so funny if he didn't, because I would then have to ask you, where did that come
from? My man is a pastor somewhere. He bought a weed place.
I feel like one of the former Texans tight ends, might have been the other one, is like in Colorado. And is in business like with legalized marijuana.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just let that stay right there. 713. I want Mike Singletary so he can tell the offensive lineman, can't win with him.
Yes.
Okay.
Can't win with him.
Hey. That's facts.
Not with them playing facts. The way that they are right yeah. now. All right, that's Around the NFL here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, brought to you by Quick Assist. Yeah,
how do I'm you? Doing the right? I'm doing the homework.
You better.
Department. I'll
yeah,
let you know.
Man. I wonder how you feel. Like how do you feel? Let's just go ahead and do a post
game. Lose all his doors.
He's like, what did he say? I do. I don't do that.
Shout out to 713 who says Owen Daniels is coaching at one of the private schools in Houston. I have a feeling that they might drug test, sir.
So he might get fired now because of John Lopez.
Look at you. All right. Coming up next, we are beyond the halfway point in the season, and I know that there's been a lot of doom and gloom. However, let's hand out some Texans midseason awards. We'll do that next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I haven't thought about this song in You're gonna give me. You're gonna make me have to work.
Hey, this is the song that started it all, man.
Yeah.
And that man to your right, he reviewed all of the songs.
Yes, I did.
We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that anymore. We got stuff that we need to do in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Wednesday. I appreciate you hanging out with us. Always get involved with the program by texting in to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. That's 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. That new Stan the Man flavor, you in on it?
I love it, man. It's super good, man.
Okay, very good.
So, I just found out. So all this time, I've been drinking the 5-Hour Energies wrong.
That's what I told you.
Yeah, so apparently you're supposed to drink half of the bottle.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then an hour and a half later, drink the other half.
Correct.
I was just taking it to the head,
I think,
man.
You're in the majority there, not the minority.
I was just taking it to the head.
Yeah, so everybody's like, I'm not keeping track of this.
Yeah.
I'm drinking it now. I'm being done with it.
Take it to the head. Throw the bottle away. You're supposed to sip on it.
Well, I guess
then you're like, popping.
I love that. Yeah. You said that like you got some brown look at the club or something. You're supposed to sip on this. All right. We're over halfway through the Texans season thus far, 9 out of 17 weeks down, 6-3 your Texans are. I don't know why I turned the Yoda there. But let's give out some Texans midseason awards. I almost felt weird deploying this today, but I felt even weirder trying to deploy it yesterday or the day before just because.
Should have done it at halftime of the game Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you have felt, I guess you would have felt all right doing it at halftime considering they were up at that moment, right?
Yeah.
So, but. Let's go ahead and give our midseason awards, and easy enough, let's start with offensive player of the first half for this team. And I say easy enough, but I think with some of these ones that you would view as, oh, that's easy, you just give it two. Mm-hmm. As soon as you go, you fill in that blank of two, there's another one in there that you go, huh, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Who's the first name that came to mind right before you, Lopez? Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon is the offensive MVP. As much as what CJ Stroud does, I do think I know who you're talking about.
And his name is Nico Collins. Yeah, immediately. Those two both, I don't know how to choose between them because you would almost want to go with the tiebreaker of, well, who's played more games. But at this point, it's about the same.
Who had the biggest impact? It's almost a toss-up.
100%, especially when you see the ways that
either, Mixon hadn't played all the games either.
Either of their parts of the offense have fared without them, mm-hmm. right? Nico Collins has gone and the passing game has not been all that sweet mm-hmm. in the way that it had been when Joe Mixon was not playing. The run game,
yeah,
not nearly as tenable as what you have. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like those two guys, in highlighting which of these guys ultimately ends up being the offensive player of the first half for your Texans, really points out the fact that, oh, wow, you're dealing with a lot of individual brilliance on making this offense go.
And when has the offense looked its absolute best? Obviously, when they're both on the field.
Week one?
Yeah. But Nico, maybe just as impactful in terms of carrying the offense, you know, as Joe Mixon, in an entirely different way, of course. You know?
So we ultimately have to make the decision.
I'm going to say Mixon.
You're going with Mixon, Figgy. Yeah. Where are you feeling?
I'm going to go Nico.
Mm. I also want to go Nico.
Yeah.
And so,
not a bad pick. Like I said, that it's something with him, you know, and he can transform the offense.
Yeah. Unless we want to do co-offensive player of the first half and really split the baby.
I'm going to go Nico, because remember coming into this season, we had Stephon Diggs as the number one.
Yeah.
And I had no idea Nico was going to do this. I knew he was good, but I had no idea. And if he would have waited for that contract, he mm-hmm. would have got probably a lot more.
Certified boogeyman. He didn't want to up the score with you. That's where he is at in my mind with Nico, as Nico Collins. And so really looking forward to, as we're going to get some more news today, mm-hmm. seeing where he is. Because that was one of the answers that D'Amico gave us, where he's like, you know, we'll just kind of monitor him through this week and see. Yeah. And we know D'Amico tends to be a little conservative. And not just him, but this team tends to be a little conservative bringing folks back. The earlier that we can see if he mm-hmm. is, you know, getting back into action, and then maybe they'll activate him, maybe the more optimism that you might have for him playing on Sunday, because he'd really need to it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and put Nico Collins. Congratulations. You are the in-the-loop Texans offensive player of the first
half. He'll get the money in the helmet.
What money? Oh, in the helmet? I thought we were giving that to charity. We can't get that. He don't need it. Honestly, I imagine if you tried to give Nico Collins my piddly cash in his helmet.
What are we doing here?
He'd be like, nah, that's fine.
Just keep it.
All right, defensive player of the first half.
A little tougher for me.
Tougher?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the easy answer is Will Anderson Jr.
Correct.
That's the easy answer. But there's also the guy whose name you very rarely hear called, and there's a reason for that. And, you know, as much as they've given up a lot of touchdowns, you know, Derek Stingley's been pretty damn good.
That's not the name that I thought I would go to.
Yeah, Derek Stingley's been pretty damn good.
He has been good.
And it's only because, like, he hasn't made a lot of interceptions. He hasn't, you know, the secondary is still, as we mentioned yesterday, giving up the most touchdowns in the NFL. So you're thinking, well, you can't be. I'm going to lean Will Anderson, by the way. That's my answer. But I think you got to give, Derek Stingley a lot of credit.
Derek Stingley wasn't the other name that I was thinking of. The other name that I was thinking of is a dude that's been referred to as the heart and soul of this defense. He's missed quite a few games, but Azeez Al-Shaair has mm-hmm. been fantastic. It just would be tough to give him the award, having missed the time. And you guys having guys like Neville Hewitt and Henry Toto and obviously Jake Hansen, who's done a little bit, but guys like that step in and fill in like pretty admirably. Will Anderson Jr. feels like
he's made everybody better, at least in the front seven.
And then
you can argue in the secondary.
100%. The front seven has made the people better on the back end. Like mm-hmm. it feels like Will Anderson Jr. has to have that one. Mm-hmm. But Wesley on the YouTube, Azeez for me from the 3-4-6, Will Anderson and Stingley have been paying off 100%. And so, yeah, all these come in. Like, this defense, obviously, as a unit, is just going to be a lot more collaborative anyways. Mm-hmm. But it feels like that's a Will Anderson Jr. with a little bit of a hat tip to Danil, who has not gotten a lot of love necessarily because the sacks aren't there. And I understand that is a level above pressures. But those pressures are there in a big way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Defense player of in the loop, defense player of the first half. I think we have to give it to Will Anderson Jr. How about this? Rookie of the first half.
I'm a big fan of Kamari Lassiter, but what do I say about Kalen Bullock? The ball finds him.
Sure does.
The ball does find him. Still going to go with Lassiter, I think. And here, it feels weird because I'm talking about how the secondary needs help, but it's not necessarily like his fault. Like, you got to look at Jalen Petrie, you got to look at safety positions and everything else. I think Kamari Lassiter.
I was going to go with Kalen Bullock.
See, he's a good pick.
Dude, Biggie, break the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I gotta go with Lassiter, man.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. Yeah. Like, that caused me, I felt like I was having heart palpitation. There was anxiety when he was not available to play.
Mm-hmm.
And with all due respect to D'Angelo Ross, like, it was very apparent.
Oh, that's a great point.
How quickly it became, throw the ball over there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was very apparent how quickly that popped up.
And how good, how important he was.
100%. Yeah. Now, of course, Caleb Bullock has been there, so and he's had to come up and step up for a missing Jimmy Ward, right, who has missed a lot of time. 8-3-2, a little bit of a hipster pick. Not with all due respect, give me some Tim Settle for defense player. Like he's been good.
You can almost toss a hat on some of those
yeah.
defenses.
Yeah,
they've all had their.
Yeah,
moments.
I was kind of going to mention Mario Edwards.
One of those ones,
probably
for sure.
Not he just needs some love. I wouldn't say the defensive player of the year.
Exactly.
He needs some love for
honorable
sure.
Mention.
I think Mario Edwards is the runaway winner in the next category.
Ooh, surprise! Biggest surprise of the first half.
Yep,
gotta be.
Yep,
gotta be. I mean, we didn't even know if he was going to be on the squad.
Yeah, I remember when we got the news that they signed him. I was just like, well,
all right.
Like, all right. he was up in Seattle. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Just another body.
Yeah, how big of an impact can he really have? Dude was...
Man.
It's like you can't wait to the point where you can't wait to get him back.
100%, yeah. Right? Like, you felt comfortable allowing Khalil Davis to go, who has been,
yeah,
he's been solid. Like, you honestly, you look at the defensive tackle... I know it's not a room in and of itself, but you understand what I mean. You look at the defensive tackle room on this team, and it's a lot of guys that you're like, fine, they can get the job done, right? And Mario Edwards, in theory, should have been one of that group of guys. Mm-hmm. He came in and instantly made it very, very clear that, oh, no, like this is a different level.
Yeah.
And that was super necessary early on in the season. Get back from that suspension soon, because he's also going to be very helpful in this defense. Like, imagine as this defensive line, I believe now they've fallen to the second most pressure on quarterbacks for a defensive line. Add Mario Edwards back into that mix again and see what it looks like with Will and Daniil now seeing those sacks stack up as well. And then add in Danico Autry in there as well. Like, there's a lot of things happening there. All right. So shout out to Mario Edwards. Your surprise, biggest surprise of the first half. And finally, we end with this. The biggest disappointment.
All right, so this is the most difficult one, and it's also sort of a reflection of where the Texans are as a team, because you have a lot of candidates here. So I'm looking at this, Figgy, and I'm like, I think Dalton Schultz could be on that list.
100%.
I think John Metchie could be on this list. And let me be very clear on this.
My bad. I'll let you cook.
John Metchie told us last year. And again this year, but he told us last year, I don't want people to treat me about like the guy that, you know, overcame cancer. And I'm paraphrasing, but he was on this show, Figgy. Yeah. I don't want to be talking about, you know, my ace, you know, the knee injuries and everything else. I want to be, you know, judged for who I am. Well, he's a second round pick. I mean, I'll do what John Metchie has requested a year ago. And again, this year. Treat me like a second round pick. Dude hadn't done anything.
Correct. But you've also like stacked this with offensive players that sit in ahead of him.
Yeah. But he's had opportunities.
He has had some opportunities. This one gets a lot of places. Before we get into some of the answers, I did want to remember the surprise that I forgot to honorable mention surprise. Henry Toto.
Oh, yeah.
Playing at the level that he has. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to give him a hat tip there. Yeah. So it's sad that there's so many disappointment possibilities.
Yeah, I didn't even get to the rest of them.
On
the
YouTube, someone said Tank Dell, maybe. Because I think that's that along with Dalton Schultz off of the five-headed monster, 3,000-yard receiver type thing.
Obviously, Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green pops up. Somebody said Tunsil for sure.
I think Tunsil's on the list. The false starts... the vibe, the feeling that maybe, you know, his presence in the room doesn't help. I'll put it that way. You know, I'm not even gonna say attitude, because that has a really bad connotation, but just sort of like he's not what you would want in an anchor left tackle leadership wise.
I'm
you
gonna
know?
Lean back on one of those lazy words.
Yeah,
the vibes. You know, not great vibes.
Yeah. Obviously, Jimmy Ward's on the list. There's a lot of guys on this list.
Yeah, and this is the thing is, Brevin Jordan pops up.
He's on the list.
With no fault of his own, but it's kind of amazing how important Brevin Jordan feels or felt as soon as like he left, and you were looking up and you're like, hey, actually, Brevin Jordan would have been helpful in that situation. Brevin Jordan wouldn't have been helpful there. That's a guy that you acquired for a day three pick, right? And so, yeah, man, like that. It's
so where are we
incredible.
Landing?
I did not realize that this would be so difficult to come up with this final one.
I mean, it's got to be Kenyon Green for me. Even though we didn't have exceedingly high expectations, there were some expectations.
You know what? we did not, there are no rules as we just kind of put this together. And we did not specify the rules being that the disappointment or any of these things outside of the rookie offensive and defense player has to be an individual player. The entire offensive line can hold this.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking that.
If we're not going to make it that specific, Bobby Slowick can hold some of this too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was expected to be the next step in the progression. Shout out to 832. That text comes in immediately after I say it on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Like, this was supposed to be a next progression in an offensive head coach that after his rookie year was being considered for head coaching positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, and I don't think he deserved this whole award on his own. But I'm a little disappointed in C.J. Stroud, man. I felt like I felt like we were talking about MVP with C.J. Stroud. And, I mean, he's not having a bad year, but I kind of expected him to take that big step.
If the category is disappointment, I think he could maybe be a little bit on the back end of that list.
Dishonorable mention.
Yeah. I don't think it's the biggest disappointment.
Right. He's not. Yeah.
But I am a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm. That one feels like more of a...
That could fall into the offensive line, into Bobby Slowick. So that's a whole chain effect right there.
I think because the buck stops here type beat, right, when it comes to Bobby Slowick, I think that he has to hold this, right? Because, like, not only that, it feels like he's not giving CJ a lot of answers in trying to solve for the offensive line. He is ultimately responsible for his offense along with the offensive line. And, you know, the question's coming in, right? Can Bobby Slowick scheme up a run game? Do you feel like you have a good answer there?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he got too many weapons and don't know what to do with them.
No. Look, Bobby Slowick absolutely has to, as you said, carry this a little bit. And I think he's on the list. So where are we landing here?
Bobby Slowick. Hold this award for the time being. It's the first half, though. You can you had us in the first half, right? You can get us in the second half. And that begins Sunday night with the Detroit Lions, one of the best teams in football, coming to town. So you got to handle yours. You got to handle up your business as you begin the second half for the Houston Texans. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. An interesting note that we might have to talk more about and what's popping. Jarrett Patterson is practicing. What does that mean? We'll talk about that and more in What's Poppin' next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on this Wednesday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. That was nasty. You know what? We'll just go ahead and pull the curtain all the way back. I was trying to put my my earbuds in, and apparently I can't walk and chew gum.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. But we were talking about the midseason awards and biggest disappointment. Apparently got the people going. I didn't even remember Christian Harris. But again, not Christian Harris himself, but the way that Christian Harris's injury has been handled has been a very big disappointment. But I guess to kind of bring it back to what's popping, Jonathan M. Alexander, he put together one of his weekly mailbags.
Yeah.
And in reading that today, I'm pretty sure that within it, he said that the expectation that he holds, and of course, like, take that with a grain of salt, right? But he is somebody that is in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Week 14
Come
is
on,
kind
man.
Of where he at. But, like, he also talked about this in such a way where that was always kind of an expectation for him, right? Like,
yeah, their actions said otherwise.
And their actions felt otherwise.
Yeah.
But it just didn't give us that impression.
They put him on the field.
But, again, take that for what you will.
Doesn't that also, not to just linger on this, but doesn't that also kind of put D'Amico in the disappointment in terms of how he's handled the public?
Oh, yeah.
You know, his public, statements.
Didn't we have whole conversations about that yesterday?
Yeah, we did. Show? I'm just saying, but I think it kind of falls in there, the Christian Harris thing, the, you know, we all got to play better thing, you know, that kind of. So it kind of reflects on that, too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that was also a good one that came up. But on the positive side of returning from injury, looks like Jarrett Patterson is practicing today. That would seem to indicate that he is moving further in like that concussion protocol thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, he'll be available for this game against the Lions. If Jarrett Patterson is available, he's a left guard, right?
He is your starting left guard. And maybe this is something of a factor on the sort of sitting on your hands yesterday when it came to linemen and the trade deadline. Maybe they felt
Jarrett Patterson will go.
We like him.
And then you go, Jarrett Patterson, your left guard, and then if he can't do it, then Kendrick Green.
Yes.
And that's going to be it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, I think that's a lot of where we are, is we'll see on if they can get.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the bar that I've set here is just Don't be awful and see if then that will allow you to then do some of the things that can mitigate.
All we're asking is don't be awful.
Mitigate bad line play. Like that's where I think I am. All right, some other things that are popping. If you were looking for distractions during the course of last night's festivities.
Events.
to put it as vaguely as possible. College football playoff dropped their first rankings and I'm confused.
In what world is Nebraska?
if you missed it, we should have pulled that. That's a great point. We should have pulled that audio.
We
got to
pull that in what world?
We had Adam Spillane earlier, as we do every Wednesday at 10:40.
He's finally in, baby.
And he's not in enough to call 12 or 13 Windiana.
Yeah.
But he is in enough to lambast, is the word that I'll use here. Lambast the college football playoff committee for ranking Indiana as low as they ultimately did. But yeah, man, it does feel like I don't have a great understanding of what this college football ranking looks like or why it looks like it, the way that it does. Oregon ranked 1, Ohio State 2. Shout out to Figgy and Ohio State. Georgia 3. You were hypothesizing where they'd end up.
Yeah.
Miami 4 and Texas rounding out the top 5 there. Indiana came in at 8 behind Penn State and Tennessee. And then your Texas A&M Aggies, just 2 out of that top 12.
Hey, so we're making a move, baby.
if we're doing this like the NCAA tournament, the last one out was SMU.
First four, last four in.
Yeah, and then A&M was the second out.
Just don't choke and beat Texas, and you're in.
That does feel like a path in, for sure.
Of course, not choking is a big ask. And beating Texas is a bigger ask.
There's some weird things that happen here. Boise State ranked 12. It does feel, I do wonder how much of this was like them going through the exercise of like how they would rank these, where they put, you know, the conference champions in there as well. Wondering how much that was factoring in into this. It does not fully seem like that.
Big 12 and ACC look like one team conferences.
Which is kind of amazing in some ways, but that'll shift, right? Like, that's one of the things about these rankings right now is you haven't gone through the fullness of the schedule where some of these things shake out, and then you ultimately are left holding the fullness of what the actual resume is, which is why I think that this project process is really stupid. However, a lot of love for Penn State in a way that I don't think this should be, as evidenced earlier by our conversation with Spillane. Yeah. Not enough love for Indiana, obviously. Notre Dame given a lot of love as well.
Do me a favor. Look at Nebraska's schedule.
He's so tickled by this. You are so
these
tickled by this.
Last night.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute farce.
That's right. An absolute farce.
What I did get out of it, and again, going to change a million times, maybe not literally. College football playoff, they like some good TV. They like big brands on TV because this is a big brand playoff.
Yeah, things change, but some stay the same. And one of those things is that the college football playoff is going to defer to big name brands as it seems like they have. We'll keep an eye on that as we continue throughout the season towards that inaugural 12-team college football playoff. Some other news that was happening. Rockets play the Spurs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Third time they're playing them. In 12 days. Yeah. It's a lot.
Man.
The way that these schedules kind of line up, kind of wild. You had a back-to-back early on in the season. It's games 3 and 4. And game 8, again, is the San Antonio Spurs. Victor Wembanyama, we're not certain if he will play.
No Popovich.
He's out indefinitely
with health issues. Shams was saying, like, there's serious concern. Whatever that means.
Dang.
Serious is serious. I mean, you know, whatever that may be, it is a big concern down there. Wembanyama going to be fun just to see him against the Rockets. But
Rockets have, as we talked about with our guy Spillane, Rockets have been an interesting team. They've gotten some really notable wins, beating the Mavs. Ultimately, beat the Knicks on Monday. So, like this
and
team,
the other one was Memphis, right?
They did beat Memphis as well. I let it slip.
Mm-hmm.
4-3, sitting technically at 4-4th. They're like tied for that fourth spot. Not that that matters at this point, but you're under 10 games in. Like 10 games feels like an opportunity to really do some evaluation. But this is a team, offensive rebounds very well. Defense is stout at times, right? Obviously, it can fluctuate from time to time.
Yeah.
Shooting could be a lot better. But again, when you have all the offensive rebounds and the pace, although the pace has not been all that high, but like just kind of the quickness that this team has.
Defense is expected.
Yeah.
Offensive rebounding is a refreshing start. And I said this before the season started, winning on the road Winning on the road is big for this squad. That was one of their blind spots last year.
Yeah. So all those things, we're watching the Rockets tonight as well. A nice return to sports after no basketball was on last night. Obviously, the NBA clears out their schedule to try and let people that work in arenas and all those things fully focus on going to voting. A couple of other things, I guess this basketball one real quick. Joel Embiid has been suspended 3 games for that incident that we talked about a few days ago in the Judge John Lopez segment.
Yeah.
In the court of John Lopez, where he confronted physically pushing a columnist from the Philadelphia Inquirer about a piece that was written that that talked about Joel's son and his late brother, who both have the same name. He thought that a bridge too far. A lot of people in media and otherwise thought it was a bridge too far. Joel Embiid acted on in the NBA, suspended him 3 games. A lot of people are looking at this and saying, okay, but he's going to be injured for like a month, so what's that going to
affect? No, they said that it's not going to begin until he's cleared to play.
And that's always going to be the thing with suspensions, is that when he is available, then the suspension starts. You do wonder, does anybody fudge the books and be like, oh, he's healthy now.
He'll be ready in 2 days.
A few days
he's
before.
Healthy. Yeah. I mean, he's healthy now. That's what I mean. Wink, wink. I thought that was about as disappointing an effort, the most disappointing effort you could have from the columnist. And I would have been livid myself. I mean, how are you correlating these things? But you got to suspend him. You don't put your hands on people.
Yeah, you just can't.
Got
do that.
You got to.
Right? Like, there's some things. I really do hate that sometimes it really is that simple, because life is not simple. There's a lot of complexity. Mm-hmm. Life really exists within the gray of it all. But the answer to this one is it just can't be that.
Like, yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, all that just can't be that. And then this, a non-sports was popping, which I did want to make sure to get this in.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Bun B. And Trill Burger, as they are expanding, they're going to have some locations elsewhere in the Metroplex. I believe Mo City is going to pop up.
Mo City
in
and
the
Stafford.
What? In the what?
And Stafford.
In the what?
Ah, that's more money. Now, I'm slipping today. I don't. What is
said?
Happening to
you
me?
You said in the Metroplex.
Oh,
in
I didn't know you said that. I thought you said Mo. I thought you said Mo City.
I did say Mo City, but I said in the Metroplex before that.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're going to put some in Dallas? Oh,
that's
wow.
That's crazy.
That's expansion, baby.
They don't deserve that.
That's expansion.
They don't deserve that.
Man.
I need. All right,
just
so
put that 20 in there, man.
Have to take
yeah,
out
I really do at this point,
man.
I'm gonna stop by the ATM today. I'm gonna stop down by the ATM.
We need to end this, man. Somebody throw in the towel.
Nah, man. Well, at this point, I need to start taking suggestions for the charity that we ultimately donate this to, because I had thought that I had figured this all out.
You
but
might
all
need
of a sudden,
to do some community work, man. At this point,
you know what it is. I started feeling sick, and it's getting to that's what it is, man. It's the sickness.
I drive to Mansfield for a Trill Burger.
Oh God.
Drive to Arlington for a Trill Burger.
Anyways, this is
but seriously, where are they going to be? Sugarland,
Stafford,
Mo City.
And Mo City. So Southwest. More Trill Burgers out there. I really did enjoy when I went to Trill Burger. I kind of want to go back.
It's good. It's very good.
It's a good burger.
Yeah.
And so, especially to make it easier if you're in on that side of town.
You know what? I don't think it's in Stafford. I think it's near Spring.
Okay.
I think it's Mo City and Spring.
Okay.
I thought Fig knew for sure he would not lead me astray. And you know what?
No, that's
my
good.
No, it's my fault for not
Mo City
that.
Is right by Stafford.
That's what I was saying. So I was like, hey, man, shout out to them making sure that the west side of the city is getting there.
I think it's going to be over there kind of closer by Louetta.
Okay, Louetta.
I think it's
here
over
it is,
there
Spring, 6810 Louetta.
Even better.
Missouri City.
Yeah.
That's Fort Bend Town Center.
Yep.
Arlington. No.
I deserve that.
Irving.
I deserve that. I do. And I will pay for my
they got one coming in Grapevine.
The Grapevine.
For my indiscretions, I will pay. I understand that. I apologize to the people of the greatest city in the world, particularly the greatest city in Texas, Houston, and its surrounding areas, the greater Houston area. But you'll have more opportunities to get Trill Burger all over the H-Town area. All right. You're in the loop. I'm not going to lie. I'm shaking.
He's shaking.
I'm rattled.
He's shook.
Shook all up. And you know what? This offense has looked kind of shook for 9 weeks, or maybe let's say 8 weeks. Week 1 looked real good. Yeah. But like, they have not produced at a level that I think was expected. Is it time to consider coaching accountability with all of this? 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Let's discover or let's discuss whatever role coaching needs to play in all of this next.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.